very good Tuesday afternoon to you, folks. Thank you for listening to The Talking Place. Well, actually, folks, it's Monday. The computer didn't quite do what it was supposed to, but that's okay. You know, with radio, you gotta wing it from time to time. Let me go ahead and try this little thing instead.
It's the doo-wop, doo-wop, it all I do. The mountain goat aroma always coming through. Oh, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup. Now I'm right in harmony with that doo-wop, doo-wop, diddy. Oh, one more cup and it's a hoo-wop, shoo-wop for me. Oh, the best part of waking up is Folgers in your cup.
The best part of waking up is the Adam, the computer guy, and mid-morning coffee break radio program suite of broadcasting brilliance here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. See, when we wing it because we messed up a little teeny tiny bit, it's actually a little bit more fun. Current time here in Marion, Ohio, about 17 minutes after the hour of 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And if you've been following me on social media, you know that we have a special guest. We have Scott Spears, interviewer to the stars, a personal friend of Phil Donahue and many others. But here, we have kind of a second-degree connection to, arguably, one of the most influential and important musical groups since music became popular here in the great country, especially the R&B, which has influenced just about anybody who picks up a microphone, including me when I attempt karaoke and other stuff. My guest, his name is Nick Stiles, and he was an assistant, basically a friend, of the late Mary Wilson, recently passed away, a member of the Supremes, certainly, arguably, the biggest girl group in history, one whose music lives on. Of course, Diana Ross, still with us, and love to hear her great vocals on the radio. Make sure that I have properly turned up the knobs and prepared for today's discussion. Again, you are welcome to call. We are taking telephone calls, questions, comments, things you may want to ask, or even try to stump us with a trivia question. We also welcome that. 740-383-9944. So, right across from me, Nick, how are you doing on this fine, almost summery Monday morning?
Good, how are you?
Oh, not too bad. Kind of hanging in there. Now, you live in Lorain, Ohio, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And the prospect of being here on The Talking Place was so great. And again, because of your love of this music, which I share the love for, though not the knowledge of. Yeah. You made a trip down to Marion. I guess you have some family here.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a little discussion about the R&B music, about your career with Mary Wilson and the other people that you are acquainted with. Again, telephone calls available, a question about music for Nick or for myself. Again, if you want to play Stump the DJ, try to ask us a trivia question, see if we can guess it. A few bars of a song, an artist, a song title. Album title, 740-383-9944. Many possibilities. So, you've not been in our studio before, Nick, before we talk about the more serious stuff. What do you think of our little facility here on the south side of Marion?
I like it.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah.
And it's kind of a universal location, nice spread out with the old school hardwood floors. And
right.
just enough posters of all the celebrities that Scott and the others have come in contact with. We have Buckeye Guy. We have assorted people from the wrestling business, Mr. McFeely. We have Bozo the Clown. Of course, next to some politicians who probably are kind of similar to Bozo the Clown, or at least it seems that way. One unique thing about you, Nick, is our listenership, our guestship, our matrix of guests are diverse, all ages, but we do skew a little bit to the older end, and radio is an old school medium.
Right.
But you're only 22 years old,
yes,
right?
Yes.
And that is unusual because the Supremes were making music well before you were born, quite possibly,
yeah,
when your parents were very young. And it's, I mean, it's great to see someone your age, somebody under 50 who is as into this music as you are. You know, at my age, I'm a little too young to be someone who felt he grew up with that kind of music. But certainly I've seen Diana Ross as a soloist, and Stevie Wonder, all the great R&B artists of the 70s and 80s, many of whom are still around. But the Supremes, they peaked, I guess, in the 60s, yeah. And with Diana Ross, and again, Mary Wilson, who we're gonna talk about. How is someone your age, Nick? I mean, literally, people three times your age are the people that you might think of as being the Supremes fans. What attracts you to this kind of music, even though you were born almost at the millennium?
Well, I can remember my mom always playing, like, when I was younger, always playing, like, the Isley Brothers and people like that.
Yeah.
So I grew up with, listening to older music. But how I became a Supremes fan and a Motown fan, PBS usually does, telethons to, like, raise money for the stations. And PBS were selling DVDs for the Ed Sullivan Show. So I'm watching it. And the Supremes come on. I knew who Diana Ross was because I seen The Wiz. The Wizard of Oz was my favorite movie as a kid. So when I saw that there was a black version of The Wizard of Oz, I was like, well, I want to see what this is about. So I knew who Diana Ross was, but I never knew who the Supremes were. So as I'm watching, that's when I fell in love with the Supremes. I saw them, and then what made me, like, I guess, say interested in them was their dresses. The dresses that they had on was what made me interested in them. So I went on YouTube, looked them up, and I saw that they had more dresses, and that's how I became a fan.
A lot of musical artists, it's their appearance, their presentation, and the Supremes are beautiful ladies. Diana Ross, I mean, when she's like 85 years old, she's still beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Just like Cher, Dolly Parton. So in many cases, the appearance, and oftentimes it's a beautiful appearance.
Right.
Their presentation is part of it, but of course it's the music that really counts. And many artists have been hampered a bit because they don't like to be on TV, they don't like to present themselves, or they just aren't as good looking. So we don't want to bias that.
Right.
But I think the image that they had, that they had beautiful voices, sweet voices,
mm-hmm.
with their beautiful presentation.
Right.
And with Diana Ross, I guess you could say that about Whitney Houston also. Just that sweet voice.
Yeah.
Just, there's a sweet character to her voice.
Right.
I think in, like, Baby Love, some of those songs. And just the sweet sound that they had.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you worked again with Mary Wilson.
Yes.
The members of the Supremes, how much of a leader of the girl group was Diana Ross, and are we maybe not giving enough credit to the other members? And that often happens with some of these bands. Everybody's heard of Diana Ross, but could you name the other Supremes?
It started off with Diana, Diana Ross, Mary Wilson, Florence Ballard, and Barbara Martin. Barbara Martin left the group to get married, so then it left the three. Florence Ballard actually started the group and picked the name The Supremes. Florence Ballard is not given enough credit for her contributions to the group, especially after being kicked out in 1967. Mary Wilson is the one who kept the group alive. So after Diana Ross left in 1970, Mary Wilson continued the group on until 1977 with Jean Terrell, Linda Lawrence, Sherry Payne, and Suse Green. And Sherry Payne, you might know her sister, Frida Payne.
Band of Gold. That is one of my favorite songs. And she's one of those musicians where, I don't like to say this, but the other songs she's done, they're not bad. And she's a very talented singer. But
yes.
Band of Gold is just so much better. And that is a classic.
Yeah.
As I recall, might have been I put my phone away. I don't want any phone calls to distract the interview. As well as I don't Google any information. You see my hands are here. I try to go off my memory because I claim to be a walking encyclopedia of music from 73 to 87. Mm-hmm. And just to let you know, 73 is when we moved back to Columbus.
Okay.
I don't bother how old I was, but I was just a tot, and I listened to WNCI, other top 40 type stations. Back when top 40 music was good, right. The R&B, the hard rock, the country pop, the Kenny Rogers, early Living John. In 87, when I left broadcasting, and of course I came back, but it's an addiction. It's addicting in a good way. It's a good thing to go back to your roots and what you love. So that's kind of the period. But I know some of the 60s and early 70s. But anything after the late 80s, when I think music took a definite step downward, my knowledge definitely is much thinner, to say the least. But I think one of the Go-Go's or another girl group member did a duet with Frida Payne where they did Band of Gold. You probably know.
I actually don't.
one of those, and I think she had Bring the Boys Back Home or something, a song like that, with saluting our military. But Band of Gold is such a great song, and yeah, I was not aware of the family connection, but sometimes you don't know.
Right.
And I know you sort of know Thelma Houston. Mm-hmm. She's not related to Whitney or Sissy Houston. I'm sure you hear that a lot. I mean, they might be distant cousins, but it's not.
Right.
It's not a relationship that is well known. Dionne Warwick is like a third cousin to Whitney Houston or something. Yeah. They have a distant relation. But yes, many members of the Supremes. And with these groups where they kind of sing in harmony, mm-hmm. Three Dog Night, you've probably heard of them. That's one of my favorites, where they sing harmoniously. And sometimes you're not quite sure who sings. Hall & Oates as a duo, they kind of went back and forth. How much of a contribution were the other members? And were there songs where Diana Ross was less of the lead singer? As you know, Mary Wilson, underrated as a performer.
Yes.
But are there many, and often they were referred to as Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Yes.
In your opinion, as an expert of this type of music, mm-hmm. is that not giving enough credit to the other members, or maybe would it be a case where some songs Diana Ross was the predominant singer, and others where they were just kind of singing in harmony as a true girl group?
Now, before 1967, they did a lot of more harmony. Their album I Hear a Symphony, their album that was unreleased called There's a Place for Us, they did a lot more harmony stuff. After 67, everything was more so geared towards, well, about 66 is like, after 66, I guess you could say, everything was more so geared towards Diana. So even there would be studio sessions where Mary and Florence or Mary and Cindy Birdsong were not in the studio because they had studio session singers for backing Diana. I think their whole Christmas album that they did was just Diana by herself.
Right. You've heard of the Stylistics, right? Mm-hmm. With the great falsetto Russell Tompkins Jr. And they're a favorite of mine. You Make Me Feel Brand New and Rock and Roll Baby, two of my favorite songs. And I've been known to, especially the second song, perform that at karaoke. Not quite as well. My falsetto isn't up to the level of Russell's, but it passes, especially after a couple cold ones. Many times Russell Tompkins Jr. was almost singing exclusively. And I couldn't even give you the name of the other members. Mm-hmm. But I think with the Supremes, there was more harmony. And there were cases where Diana Ross was the predominant singer. And sometimes they might have been listed as Diana Ross and the Supremes.
Yeah.
Did that cause any internal strife between the members? Were they jealous or just all glad to be superstars and all kind of respect each other? Because that happens, Nick, in music. I mean, the musicians get egos and we talk about the hard rock bands, Aerosmith, Van Halen, two of my favorites, and all the struggles that they've had. And sometimes they get back together again, and sometimes they just keep hating each other.
Right.
Almost every hard rock band, I think, has had that to some extent. Are you think the girl groups a little more tame about that, or did that happen with the Supremes at all?
I will say, when the Supremes broke up, they never got back together. Sadly. Now, the ego thing, I feel like the group had a lot of strong personalities, and that's where they all clashed. They all knew what they wanted. They all knew that they wanted to be singers. And by being told, well, you can't do this because this is going to, you don't sound right doing this, it kind of formed a rift in the group where Florence Ballard felt as if she was less than Diana, or she's made to feel like she was less than Diana. Mary Wilson was kind of in the middle always, But she did say, she did state that not being able to sing lead on certain songs that she wanted to or was picked for her made her feel like she couldn't sing at all.
Yeah, it will happen. And Three Dog Night being an example where sometimes in Hall & Oates where the voices are a bit different, so sometimes a certain part of the song, Righteous Brothers, an even great example, because they had the deep voice and the higher voice, where they, you've lost that love and feeling, and that was also covered by Hall & Oates and others, where, mm-hmm. Where Bill Medley and Bobby Hatfield would kind of go back and forth.
Right.
Now, with the Supremes, was there a difference in their voices?
Yeah.
And you might not know that, but when they sing in harmony, it's going to sound a bit different. And versus when one of them might take a lead, and like we might have seen with the Righteous Brothers. And mm-hmm. sometimes, if you analyze this music, you kind of realize a few things that you don't just by putting a record on the old Victrola, so to speak,
or right.
in these days just telling Alexa what song to play. But you know, the old timers like me, it's put it on the Victrola. Turn up the old Victrola, like Donna Summer said.
No, yes, they did. All did have different voices. Diana was, as you know, soft pop voice. Florence had a voice like Etta James, so she was more soul R&B. Mary had a voice like, and I really don't know who to compare her to, but she had an R&B ballad voice. So she would sing. So she could sing like, you know, Frankie Avalon's "Can't Take My Eyes Off You." She covered that song.
Or Frankie Valli, or
Frankie Valli, yes.
There you go. See, you were testing me, so you wanted to see if I could tell my Frankies apart. Well, my mom loved the Four Seasons, and, mm-hmm. I, Frankie Valli, someone else who he could sing in a falsetto, or he could sing with a kind of regular voice like mine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with the "Big girls don't cry, yay, yay." Or he could like sing "Grease," where his voice was deeper, and it was the same guy. Quite a talent. But what I've heard too, another person who comes to mind, another falsetto, is Philip Bailey from mm-hmm. Earth, Wind, and Fire. We lost Maurice White many years ago, and Philip Bailey was the falsetto mm-hmm. in Shining Star and all those great EWF songs. He had that wonderful ballad with, I called it Phil and Phil, Phil Collins, mm-hmm. Easy Lover. But my understanding, Nick, is that now on tours, he does the deeper voice and the higher voice. So sometimes these people can do multiple voices.
Right.
And it's quite unique. But with the Supremes, it was a good mixture.
Yeah.
We're talking with Nick Stiles, a R&B music historian aficionado, I guess a super fan of sorts, and he has worked with Mary Wilson of the Supremes. We will be talking about that more in detail. We are taking your telephone calls. Don't be shy. We don't bite. 740-383-9944 to talk about the great R&B music that we know and love. Or, again, try to stump the DJ. We have two musical experts in the studio, or at least self-claimed musical experts. Well, I'm the self-claimed. I know Nick is. And if you want to try to stump us with a music trivia question, we are all ears. Nick is also broadcasting a live video on Facebook. So many ways to listen online, over the air, on Facebook. We definitely provide a plethora of opportunities. 35 minutes after the hour of 10 here at the Talking Place on a typical mid-June day where every time you blink your eye, it gets a little bit warmer outside, but that's part of the fun of living here in Ohio. Now, Nick, you were a personal assistant to Mary Wilson, and
yes.
She recently passed away. I know that some articles, I was researching this yesterday, mm-hmm. It spoke about her dying. You were quoted as someone who was her personal assistant, and mm-hmm. What were the circumstances? Because it really seemed to take us by surprise.
And it's you
look at this. I mean, there have been several deaths of personal favorites of late. B.J.
Right.
Thomas comes to mind. I'm a tremendous fan of his. And Kenny Rogers, last year, I believe. So it was a surprise.
Yes.
What can you tell us about the circumstances, and how did it hit you personally? I mean, she was a friend. She wasn't just your boss. She was like a big sister to
she
you.
She was my mentor.
Yeah. I mean, like a big sister. I can't imagine, Nick, what was going through your head when you heard about it, but can you share any kind of moments or thoughts with me and my listeners?
I actually didn't hear about it. I'm the one who found her in her house.
Okay, it's actually, you were more involved.
That I
wasn't aware. So the article was archived, so I only saw part of
mm-hmm.
it.
No,
so that must have been...
Her publicist and her daughter singled me out from, you know, being involved in anything. I more so feel like, so I didn't try to make any money off of.
You don't want to take advantage of that.
So, I wasn't mentioned in the part of her assistant finding her. Wasn't mentioned in any of the articles that were written. But yeah.
So actually, had she been ill, or was there any?
She had, I want to say, for the last 10 years, she's had heart problems.
Okay.
And that's what she did pass away from, was a heart attack.
She was in her 70s, I believe.
75.
Okay, I'm not going by Google. I'm just kind of estimating. I know Diana is, I believe, a couple of years older.
But they're same age.
Same age. Mm-hmm. Okay. But, yeah, 75. A good long life, but we miss right. people. Kenny Rogers was 80 or 81. But we still miss him. B.J. Thomas, late 70s. But we still miss these people, their unique voices, their style, how they influence music.
Right.
I would have been devastated. I wouldn't know. I'm at a loss for words, Nick, as to what to think.
I didn't, honestly, I've never had to do that as far as, like, call the police and have to, you know, describe pretty much a crime scene. I mean, although she died naturally, that's kind of what they made it as what they told me when they first got there. They broke the door down to get into the house, because I couldn't get in because the door was locked. They kind of told me, you know, this is a crime scene, so you're not allowed in. You have to stay outside. I actually wasn't even allowed in the driveway. I had to stay. Actually, had to sit in the street or stand in the street. So, they, you know, handled it like that.
Did they not believe that you were her assistant? I would think. I would think in this case it would be appropriate for you to be there. This was in Las Vegas, right, or near Las Vegas, and of course that protocol might vary state by state.
Right.
But that added to the sadness that you weren't even allowed in.
Right? Yeah.
I don't know what to say. I'll let you take the microphone.
No, that definitely did add to the, not really the police. The police, because at that time I was more of like trying to figure out what's going on. But after kind of being shunned by her team and her family kind of was like, did add to the sadness, because they didn't know me, but they knew I was there. You know what I mean? So, I guess, like I said, they didn't want me trying to make any money or do anything off of her death. So, her publicist called a few times, threatened me with, you know, if you ever talk about this, we're gonna take you to court. We're gonna do this. We're gonna do that. At first, it did make me nervous. Then I realized I wasn't.
Very much. You're adding to an already tragic situation.
Right. But I didn't. When I realized I didn't do anything wrong, and if I did talk about it, I wasn't doing anything wrong. Then that's when, you know, kind of took that whole nervousness away. But yeah, I definitely was nervous in the beginning.
This is the mid-morning coffee break radio program with me, Adam Lepp, here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, broadcasting online at WWGH1071.com and over the TuneIn app on your iPhone or Android or other type of smart device. Or if you're in the Marion area, you can listen the old-fashioned way, frequency modulation 107.1 megahertz on your radio dial. Special guest today is a former assistant to the late, great Mary Wilson of the Supremes, Mr. Nick Stiles, discussing the tragic event where he found out that she had passed away after a few years of some heart troubles. Mm. Were you in contact with Diana or other members? I mean, there was some friction, or were you any kind of a communication bridge with the other members or other people, that other famous musicians that she had a familiarity or a connection with?
As far as Diana, no. I've never met or spoken to her. Now, I will say, I don't know if there's any friction between the two, but I will say this. If somebody I don't like, I'm not going to have pictures of them in my house. And she had pictures of Diana all over her house. So,
right. That must have been a little difficult. It's like, well, what do I do?
Mm-hmm. But there are other singers who did reach out. Brenda Holloway is another Motown singer. She reached out to see how I was doing. Another singer named Chris Clark, she reached out. There's a few other people, but I can't think of them offhand. But, a lot of people did reach out who knew her and knew her personally. A few of her friends, personal friends. She just wrote a book in 2019 with her friend Mark Bigo. He reached out and, we talked a little bit. There was a lot of people who did reach out.
Now, how long did you work for Mary Wilson?
Working for her from November. Since November, she emailed me, asked me if I wanted to be her assistant.
Well, that'd be pretty exciting.
So, of course, I said, yeah. And also in that same email, she was saying, I wish you were in Vegas. I'd hire you full time. So
that would be quite, again, you're just 21 years old.
Yeah.
So how did you know her?
She was my mentor.
Okay.
I met her in 2018, 2019. How I met her is kind of funny. I found her phone number on Facebook.
Okay, well, that's, especially with Wilson, how many Mary Wilsons are there? You just look up in the phone book. I guess that's just something I think of as someone. I often try to locate people, and it's mm-hmm. a common name, so be sure you have the right one.
Right, right. No, I found her phone number on Facebook. Her hairstylist accidentally posted their text messages and didn't cross the number out blank the number out.
Yeah, you hear about that sometimes. These mm-hmm. numbers accidentally get published, and in 2021, it's easy to find that stuff.
So, and she also the hairdresser, her name is Diana. She reached out to me as well, and me and her have been talking. So she posted a number on Facebook, and I'm like, this isn't really Mary Wilson's phone number.
Yeah, I wouldn't believe it. Yeah.
So I was like, this was too easy how I received it. It's not her number. So I text the number, and I said, Merry Christmas. She responded back, I don't know who this is, but Merry Christmas to you and your family. And at the end of every message that she would send, it would say touch MW. And Touch was her first official lead single as a Supreme. This was after Diana left. So she kind of always followed that, kept that up, I guess you could say. So I'm like, well, this isn't really her. Like I said, this is too easy. This isn't really her.
Yeah, sure. It's like it's Donald Trump's birthday. I don't have his cell phone number. He's not on social media, so I don't just call up somewhere in Mar-a-Lago and say, hi, is Donald there? Mm-hmm. So it's not, and that's a more uncommon name, too.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well, how do you know that you're actually speaking with the real Mary Wilson?
Right.
Where is that going to occur in many situations?
Right. So I text her again the next month, which was January. And I had asked her, I said, I'm starting a lip gloss line. I was wondering if you would be one of my samplers. So she responded back and said, call me. So I called her. And when I heard her voice, I was like, yeah, this is Mary Wilson.
That must be quite exciting.
So, yeah, it was. Actually, it took me a minute to get myself together.
I would be floored. It's like, this is really Mary Wilson.
Right.
And that's quite cool. So she was real nice and down to earth. Mm-hmm.
No, very down to earth.
You don't really know celebrities. I mean, you hear about them. You mm-hmm. hear like, well, Henry Winkler, one of the nicest celebrities. Charlie Sheen, you wouldn't know what to expect out of him.
Right.
And a few others, you're not quite sure what they're going to be like. Mm-hmm. But with Mary Wilson, yeah, down to earth, like you're talking to your aunt.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the relationship.
That's how I saw her as Auntie Mary. And when I officially started working for her, she's like, well, what do you want me to call you? Like, how you ask? What do you want me to call you?
You don't know. You have two different names, and I kind of like your middle name, Lamont, so I didn't know what to call you, but that's why I ask.
And that's what she had said. She was like, I don't know really what to call you. What do I call you? And I said, well, Nicholas or Nick is fine. And she said, what did your mom call you? I said, well, when she's mad, Nicholas. And she was like, well, I'll call you Nick. And I was like, well, I wanted to ask you, too, what do you want me to call you? Because I've always called her Miss Wilson. And she said, you can call me Auntie Mary. My kids' friends always have called me that for years. And she said, I also see that you already do it, so you can call me Auntie Mary.
That was pretty nice. So, as a mentor, prior to being her assistant, what mm-hmm. What did you learn from that, and what did she do to help you as a, grow as a person and as someone, and basically in the music business?
Really, she was more of, like I said, like, she was family. She'd call, I remember there was a few times she called out the blue, and she was like, you know, I just was checking on you. There was one time she called me, and it was like, She's like, I heard you were depressed, and I was, you know, wondering what was going on. Are you okay? And I'm like, how did you know that? But I was depressed. And she was, you know, I was just calling to check on you, see how you were doing. And she gave me advice, and then we talked about some personal things of when she was going through her, you know, depression and how she got out of it. So that's kind of more of what she was, a person to get advice from.
Right. So really like an aunt.
Yeah.
Or grandma, big sister.
Yeah.
So she helped you grow as a person, and you were late teens, around 20 then, the time when people come into adulthood.
Right. And
so she really had an influence on
you.
So just the usual question you would think when you meet a celebrity, well, what was this person like? Mm-hmm. Well, down to earth, like I was talking to my aunt.
Yeah.
I knew she was a big musical star. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you don't sing as well as Mary Wilson, but I'm sure you enjoy belting out a tune. I certainly do. I have, as I say, a talking voice, not a singing voice, but I do enjoy singing a tune or two. Have you sung songs with her, even just for fun, you know, carpool karaoke? With the male voice and her voice, do you think your music had some promise?
One of the most exciting things that we did while we were together, at least I guess you could say, was exciting for me. She had just got all the songs for her album that was going to be released, re-released. And she was like, well, I want you to listen to the new single that's going to be released. And it's, why can't we all get along together?
Yeah, that's good advice anytime.
And so I'm listening to it, and then I'm like, I really like this. There was two other songs that weren't released. I don't know if they're going to be released in the future, but they weren't released. And I was like, I really like this. And she's like, yeah, we recorded it, but you know, we never released it. I was like, well, why didn't you? And she said, you know, we were putting together an album, but the album never came together. So she's like, we're going to release it for my birthday this year. I'm like, okay. You know, it was a really good song. It's available now. As, you know, she's playing, more songs come in, you know, on the shuffle. And I remember Pick Up the Pieces came on. And she's singing it, and I'm singing. That's one of kind of the moments we had together, you know, singing together.
Was that the Average White Band song or a different Pick Up the Pieces?
You know what? I think it is a cover.
Okay. That was a kind of a jazzy, sort of semi-instrumental.
Mm-hmm.
That and Cut the Cake, two biggies in the mid-70s with that the jazz R&B soft rock mix, and we don't hear a lot of music like that anymore. As I mentioned, right. I make no secret, Nick. Music from late 80s until now, with a few exceptions, really isn't very good. I think too many computers, people that have questionable ability, and I just like the character that the oldies music had.
Right.
Again, you know, you were born almost at the millennium, even though, again, you're certainly an old soul, I guess, and old school music, which is great, because we don't have a lot of people in that situation, and we need people like you to keep this music going.
Mm-hmm.
And what you can do in that regard is outstanding, beyond words. Do you agree with me about music taking a serious downturn around 1990, or am I being a little too hard on it? Or do you have any current favorite musicians? Maybe not to the level of Diana Ross, but at least some that you feel have some redeeming value.
Yeah, no, I have a lot. I'm more of an R&B fan than I am hip-hop, but it is often said that music did take a turn downward, you know, after 1990 because of hip-hop. I personally feel like hip-hop is a freedom of expression. It's not my, you know, go-to, but there are a lot of good artists. No, I can't name them all offhand, but there are a few songs that I've heard where I'm like, okay, you know, I do like this. But I said, it's a freedom of expression. It's a newer way to vocalize how you feel. You know what I mean? You know.
Yeah, there's a place for all kinds of music. But I mean, the country, the hard rock, mm-hmm. just doesn't have the character. And a lot of it is just all the synthesizers and all the overproduction. A lot of the simpler music is the best when people really showed their talent and showed their vocal range.
Right.
I brought up like Philip Bailey, the range that he had.
Mm-hmm.
So, in addition, of course, to Mary Wilson and the Supremes, let's say from the 60s and 70s, of all genres, mm-hmm. what are some of your other favorite musicians?
The Isley Brothers, Brenda Holloway, Martha and the Vandellas, really everybody at Motown.
Aren't the Isley Brothers from Cincinnati?
Yeah, yeah.
Aren't you surprised that I knew that? See, no Google, there's my hands. The Walking Music Encyclopedia strikes again. So not a lot of musicians, Nick, from Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And the Isley Brothers from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Dwight Yoakam's from right around here, I do believe, a country musician. So we Chrissy Hynde, a favorite, she's from Akron. And she actually had a restaurant in Akron at one point, so from the Pretenders. So mm-hmm. we have some musicians with Ohio connection, but I wouldn't say it's a big city for...
Yeah. I think the OJ's from Cincinnati as well.
Yeah, it's either Akron, Dayton, or Canton, I forget.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy Ray Cyrus and Miley, they're from southeastern Ohio.
I didn't know that.
Ashland, Kentucky area.
I didn't know that.
I kind of liked Achy Breaky Heart. People kind of made fun of it. I thought it was a pretty good song. And Miley, again, a very good singer. Not the quality of, I call the 70s divas, Olivia Newton-John, Anne Murray, mm-hmm. Diana Ross, Helen Reddy, mm-hmm. So many of them. But I think she's a good singer, and I think she deserves credit. Interestingly, some of the music from Dayton, the Ohio Players, has made a big influence.
Right.
And you may have heard of Shirley Murdoch. She was a one-hit wonder on the top 40. But As We Lay, that one-hit wonder, is one of my favorite songs.
Mm-hmm.
And I met her. There's a picture of me with her on Facebook. I was asking people to guess whom I was standing with. It was 11 years ago. And nobody really guessed, but you probably would know. My company was kind of sponsoring her and her husband, who's her manager, as you probably know, for an appearance at a nightclub on the north end of Columbus with a client of mine. She moved to Georgia, but at that time she was a music promoter and a few other things. So I paid for her limo, and great lady. When she was singing As We Lay, I was singing along and just absolutely loved that tune, but I liked her new stuff also. I thought she was someone who I think on the pop charts deserves more recognition. And
right.
She's a native of Toledo, and she's living in the Dayton area, so... We do have some musicians. I think actually Roger Troutman also and Ohio Players. They were called the Dayton, Ohio Sound, which had an influence. So there's not been a lot of musicians from this great state, but the ones we've had have been an influence.
Right, right.
And again, there's just a few tunes that come to mind. About the Ohio Players, again, and they're still around in a different incarnation, but they had their popularity before you were born. They had that kind of funk R&B sound. Mm-hmm. And Fire, Love Roller Coaster, Skin Tight, and a few others.
Right.
Do you feel they've had a good influence?
Yes.
The funky music, too. It goes over many different genres.
Yeah. I definitely feel like in the 70s, when funk music definitely came around, it definitely changed. I feel like that's what started hip-hop.
Yeah, it's a bit of an evolution.
Music
will evolve. And like Kenny Rogers, he started out kind of psychedelic rock with I Just Stopped By to See What Condition My Condition Is In. That song has little resemblance to Lady, is the big number one hit, written by Lionel Richie, Lucille, Daytime Friends, Nighttime Lovers, those great story songs. So people's music often will evolve. And it's influenced by others.
Right.
Got a few minutes left. We may come back next hour. We're still kind of pondering that. Still time to chime in on the phone, 740-383-9944. You mentioned, Nick, and I agree, that many of today's R&B singers, I mean, Rihanna, Beyonce, they were influenced by Mary Wilson and the Supremes.
Mm-hmm.
And many people, especially younger fans, may not realize that. How much of an influence was there? How much your Beyonce and Rihanna, those two, among others. Do we need to re-examine that influence instead of overlooking it and realize that music evolves and that modern musicians, even in different genres, I mentioned this when Aretha Franklin passed away, that her music, her sound, that powerful voice, had an influence on so many different singers.
Right.
And music history is just so important, and it's still so fascinating.
Right, that's true. I will say for the Supremes, I don't think they had more of a music influence. I mean, if you look at, like, I think they had more of an image influence.
Right, and image is part of it.
Yeah, their look inspired, like, singers like En Vogue, Destiny's Child, I feel like in a way, TLC, although they had more of a hip-hop look.
No Scrubs, a few others.
They had more of a hip-hop look. I feel like, you know, the whole coordination of, you know, the looks and hair, you know, I know the member of the group T-Boss, she always wore blonde hair. Mary Wilson always wore blonde hair. I'm trying to think who else. Salt and Pepper, another group from the 90s.
Yeah, Salt and Pepper, Push It. You know, I don't like to admit it, Nick, but I kind of like that song. You would think that isn't the kind of song Adam would like, but it's cool. It's fun to dance to, mm-hmm. and it just has that sound to it. It's just, don't take it too seriously.
Right.
I like to look at, you know, the lyrics, you know, Baby Love, I Hear a Symphony, just great writing. And
right.
the way that Diana and the other members put their personality into those songs, mm-hmm. they sang it from the heart. But some of these silly songs, you got to love them.
Right.
And underrated a little bit. So, you know, I do admit there's a guilty pleasure or two. Mm-hmm. So you brought up Salt and Pepper and Push It. Push It. I find myself singing to that song when I hear it on the radio. But don't tell anybody, because that's not typical of what you might expect Adam to be a fan of.
But I mentioned Salt and Pepper. Their influence, I feel like, you know, if you look at them, they have the asymmetrical bob. The Supremes started that. That was from what I was told, the asymmetrical bob was a Detroit hairstyle that picked up with the masses, and Vidal Sassoon tamed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he has connections in Cincinnati. He owns a place on Mount Adams, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Bet you're impressed that I knew that. Just a walking little encyclopedia here. Yeah, the image, the hairstyles, and that is part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many things that go into a musician, and that's even before MTV and videos, and when many times you wouldn't know what a musician might look like. But that image was important.
And that you just said that. With radio, before the Supremes, everybody was on radio. TV really didn't come about until the Supremes had their first number one hit, which was Where'd Our Love Go in 1964. And that was with the Ed Sullivan Show and American Bandstand, Shindig, Hullabaloo, shows like that helped push the Supremes. Because there were other girl groups, influential girl groups, and influential singers before the Supremes, who the Supremes have mentioned have influenced them. But because there wasn't TV, no one really saw them.
We're speaking with Nick Stiles here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. We may come back for a few minutes next hour and talk more. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, The